I'll be continuing along the Australian fauna and be talking about the Australian spiders. So I'm talking about huntsman spiders, and huntsman spiders are extremely common throughout Australia. They're also found here. One of the things that I've been interested in is that all huntsman mothers are diligent mothers. They diligently guard their egg sacs, they guard their young for at least one instar. And I thought that this might be an interesting system because this meant that they're all essentially pre-adapted for prolonged social interactions with their offspring. Yet, out of the 1,088 huntsman species, there's only one social huntsman species that's known. All the rest are solitary and have only transient maternal care, as best has been known. The one social huntsman species is Delana cancerides. So my question was, could I look at the social and the solitary species and see what different factors differed between these social and solitary huntsman spiders that might be able to explain some of the major differences in their lifestyle? So my system has been just wonderful. The Australian huntsman species, at least the ones I'm talking about, they're found in the same habitats, they're often found in the same trees, sometimes you find them in the same trees, both species together. They all use similar sorts of retreats that are under the bark of trees. The previous speaker was talking about acacia species. They're primarily found underneath the bark of acacia species. They all have similar large body size. So my primary species are about the size of the palm of my hand with their legs out. They have the same basic biology and are capturing basically the same things, but you've got this difference in sociality. And so my study has compared early mother offspring sibling dynamics, patterns of prey sharing, growth and survival in groups. So my design, I've collected these huntsman species in 204, 206, 207. I've observed them in the lab since 204. I've got complementary field observations and over 4,000 prey capture observations. I've been doing my work in the southeastern area of Australia. Here are a list of the different species, with Delana being found in all of these areas. Here is the most current phylogeny of the huntsman species, with Delana, basal group, and then up above these, I've listed the number of clutches that I observed. And the key thing that you should get out of this, you're not going to remember the phylogeny, but the key thing that you should get is that I've color-coded the different genera, which should help a little bit. So the question is, what differs? And the answer is, everything differs that I've looked at so far, including things like egg sac and development. So something simple like Delana egg sacs, as far as I know, are the only huntsman sacs that are plastered to the bark, whereas everyone else has essentially an envelope that they're carrying. All spiders emerge from egg sacs at their second instar. And this second instar is immobile, non-feeding instar. They can move around, but they're not really zippy. So one of the differences is that Delana are developmentally delayed. What's happening is, in this, Delana remain as this second instar, these cute little green things over here. They remain a second instar for a mean of 15 days mingling in their colony, whereas all of the other nine species that I've looked at, they had the egg sac is opened with anywhere from 10 minutes to about 12 hours or maybe even 36 hours. They immediately molt onto the third instar, which is much more mobile and is feeding. Here I've shown developmental time. The bottom colors indicate the time from the time the egg sac was laid until they hatched out at the second instar. The teal color up above indicates how long they remained as second instar. So what I think is happening is that Delana development is taking longer, they're remaining as this second instar longer, perhaps they're altricial at some level. Let me talk about sociality. With spiders, the main benefits of spider sociality are unequivocally cooperative capture, but in my species, particularly the sharing of prey once it's captured. Social spiders appear to be primarily foraging societies, and by foraging together, they have increased survival and growth. All Delana clutches share prey frequently, and here's just an idea of large animals are sharing with small animals are sharing with each other. This is pretty much a typical day in a colony. Here what I've done is I've looked at the amount of prey sharing for animals of all age classes. On the far side, I've got the number of prey capture events that I have recorded for each of the genera. Rather, each of the species. What I want you to get out of this is that for all intents and purposes, most of the huntsman species are sharing maybe 10% of the time overall, with only two species. Delana is the red, and then one other species, Isopidella leahii, shares right around 20%. So Delana shares about 30% of the time, looking at all species. It's interesting how they're sharing prey with their mother. Delana are basically sharing their prey with mother and older offspring and with each other a lot. In contrast, out of the 66 clutches that I've observed of solitary species, of nine different species, exactly nine times have I observed mother to share prey with young. Whereas the Delana are out there soliciting prey, oh please give me some prey, and doing very active solicitation behaviors, the solitary huntsman never solicit. You can literally have a mother who is fat and plump and eating, and her youngsters are starving next to her. This is really notable. So there's no prey sharing and no solicitation. In terms of the ontogeny of prey sharing, what I've done is I've broken it down by each instar. So third instar, fourth instar, fifth instar, and sixth instar across the columns, and then the percent prey shared. Pay attention to the red line, the Delana. What you see is the Delana, if I'm looking at a sixth instar and younger, are sharing 40%, 35 to 40% all the way through the first six instars. In contrast, all of the other solitary species are sharing relatively high amounts as third instar. By fourth instar, it starts dropping. You still see a little bit of prey sharing, but not much. By fifth and sixth instar, they're eating each other in preference to sharing the prey. And so literally, I don't have a whole lot of data because cannibalism is clearly preferred to the other alternatives. So what are the costs of group living? We tried, we did experiments raising individuals in solo tanks and in groups of five. And we measured survival over 60 days and body weight, initial and final weights. I've just showed you the survival, but what you should get out of this is that we've got Delana do great. Delana do great in groups. They have high survival. The weight gain is pretty much the same whether they're by themselves or together. When they're together, they share prey. Whereas these other three species, the Holconia species and the Neosporassa species, basically they're killing each other or they're not sharing prey, so the others are starving. So there are very serious costs associated with remaining in groups for these solitary species. I haven't shown you the weight data, but these Holconia species basically are 80% less if they remain in groups, their body weight. So, in summary, what changes with being social for these species that are pretty much the same size? Delana have many adaptations to social living. They've got altricial development, they've got a lowered metabolic rate, they've got access to more and to larger prey. This results in faster growth, reduced cannibalism, and delayed dispersal. Probably one of the big advantages to remaining in groups for these animals is delaying dispersal because there aren't that many retreats that are acceptable to Delana in the habitat. This contrasts with the solitary species that experience many costs of remaining with their natal group. They have a much higher risk of cannibalism for mom or their siblings. There's minimal prey sharing. There's no cooperation with larger prey. And the result is they grow much more slowly. and they have rapid development, and they're dispersing from the groups basically as soon as they can. Thank you very much. I didn't think I had, was that fast, yeah.
Do you see any differences in how social they are based on prey availability?
I haven't really looked at that, but I haven't looked at prey exactly, but in terms of manipulating prey, these guys are not getting more social if they have lots of prey. That much I can tell you right now. Yes, you.
Me?
You.
Oh, okay. So if I remember correctly, I think you showed that the Balania are ancestral to the other groups.
They're not ancestral, but they clearly branched off earlier.
Okay, so is there any hypothesis about what has caused the shift to have these other groups be less social in these particular environments?
No. Nor is there a simple explanation of why the heck these guys are social. I mean, their retreats are somewhat different. They're in the same habitats, but they have much larger retreats. Work that we're currently looking at is metabolic rates of the social species are much, much lower, and we're wondering if an adaptation to being social is lower that metabolic rate, sharing the prey, and so that they're able to delay dispersal before they're just too hungry and start eating siblings.
Well, what's their disadvantage?
Right. You can be all wiped out at once. There is some defense if you remain with mom for a longer time. And you have multiple clutches remaining.